5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm thankful you're here this afternoon. Thankful for the opportunity. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new series on Sunday afternoon called Ambassadors for Christ. And so that's what we're learning about these Sunday afternoons the next few weeks. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We're going to see that in our text. If you're able, let's stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to pray, and then we'll read the text together. And we want to make sure that we remember always this is God's word, and we are looking for God to speak to us through his word. So I'm going to ask Brother Ryan Barnes, if you would, to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll read. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Please be seated. Having been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. He has not imputed or placed on our account our trespasses, but instead has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. So we talked last time, a couple of weeks ago, about the message of the ambassador. Our message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And can somebody just real quick define for me what the gospel is? It's good news. The word literally means euangelion. It means the good news. And it's defined by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians as what? Yeah, it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that is the gospel. That's the good news. That's the message. Now, how many of you guys, when you went to school, you were in school, and your teacher would give you homework? Anybody ever have homework in school? You remember that? And how many of you ever showed up the next day for class only for that moment, the next day when you got to class, to remember you had a homework assignment? Anybody else ever do that? Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple weeks ago, I gave you homework. The Lord sent a snowstorm to give you an extra week to get your homework done. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I wonder how many of you remembered your homework assignment. Does anybody even remember what it was? You do? Good. Gold star. Go. Right.
And you said to greet someone, be friendly to people you don't know.
Amen. Good job. Gold star. If we had stars, you'd get a gold one. Good job. So your assignment, if you remember or not, was to write down, to take the time to write down or type up the gospel that you write it yourself in your own words that you could present to somebody else in 60 seconds or less. So The good news is, there's no grades on this, but I just, if you haven't done that yet, please, please remember to do that this week. If you forgot what the assignment was, you can text Trina. She's got notes. She'll help you remember. Amen. Yeah, there you go. All right. So the goal was for you to present the gospel in your own words, because like I told you last time, I've had a lot of training. I've got up here my book from The Way of the Master, basic training course. In my office, I have Evangelism Explosion. I have Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman, which, just as a side note, I encourage all of you to find and read that book, Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert E. Coleman. You should find it and read it. I have The Soul Winner by Spurgeon, which is basically a collection of classes that he taught to young men in seminary. young men who are going to be pastors about soul winning and evangelism. So I've had a lot of different training, but there are a lot of different courses, a lot of things that I've been taught over the years. But here's the thing I've discovered is as I learn and as I grow and as I talk to more people, I've kind of developed my own style, my own way. The gospel doesn't change, but the way we present it does. Now, there are some elements that have to be there. And I'm convinced that it's vital for us in the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. It's all wrapped up in the term. Somebody needs to be reconciled to God, which means that they're not right with God. So that's one of the reasons we want to use the law. It's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law gives us the knowledge of sin so that we die in our self-righteousness, which makes us want to call out to God to be saved, to be made alive. So we use the law lawfully to bring conviction of sin so that somebody understands they're not right with God. That's part of the ministry of reconciliation. When I was growing up, guys just said, you got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. It's the same concept, but it's law to the proud, grace to the humble, and so we want to do that. Now, we talked a lot about the message last time, and if you haven't written out the gospel in your own words, please do that before we come back next week and make sure that you can do that. Now, the second thing was to just be friendly as you're out and about. Just be nice to people. And then God sent a snowstorm and you didn't go anywhere for 5 days. But there were days before and after the snowstorm that you did go out and about. And I hope that when you walked in a store, out of a store, you got out and there was somebody at the gas pump next to you, whatever it is, that you were just friendly to people. Just smile and be friendly. Hey, how are you today? Whatever it is, just a friendly greeting. And I want to encourage you to keep that up. So the message is vital. There's no salvation apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no way for somebody to be saved except through faith in Jesus. And the knowledge of salvation comes through the gospel of Jesus. But not only is the message important, so is the messenger. The messenger is important too. So I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and find verse 3. And we'll talk to you for a little bit this afternoon about the character of the ambassador, or we might say the purity of the messenger, however you want to say it. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 3. He says this, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Now the Apostle Paul is running through a list. He's talking about himself and the other messengers, how they are ministers of Christ. And it's the calling that we all have, that in all things we approve ourselves as ministers of God. And notice that he switches from in all things to by all things, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. And then he says, as, in other words, like, or as deceivers and yet true. In other words, there were people who were accusing them of being deceivers, but they were true. There were people who said they were nobodies, but they were well-known by God and well-known in the spiritual realm. As dying, as they said, these people are going to fall to nothing, come to nothing, and yet we know that they were alive. And so he's talking about their character and all that they are. Now, we know Jesus taught, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So it does matter how we live in front of other people, doesn't it? Yes. Okay, let me ask it like this. Does your testimony in the world matter? Yes. Does it matter in regards to evangelism? Yes. Yeah, absolutely it matters in regards to evangelism. Colossians 4 and verse 5, Paul said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so we want to be careful how we live our lives in front of other people. In other words, it's not enough for us to just come sit in church on Sunday and say something, but we need to live it in our day-to-day lives. Shouldn't our lives be transformed by the gospel? It can't just be that I have the right message, that I'm saying the right thing, but the vessel that's carrying the message needs to be purified too. So we give no offense in anything. What does that mean? We don't cause anybody to stumble because we can't be like this. We can't say one thing and do another. I can't say all these good things about the gospel, but then continue to live as though I've never heard the gospel. Okay. 1 Peter 3:15. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness of fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your lifestyle in Christ. In other words, it ought to be that even people who hate God, hate Jesus, and hate you in the church, that when they say things against you, it doesn't work. It doesn't stick. It's false because you are living a good life because you've been transformed from the inside out through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so let me walk through 7 character qualities of a true ambassador with you this afternoon. Number 1, purity of life. He said back in our text in verse, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, By pureness, by knowledge, a life that is holy, that is sanctified, that is made pure because we know him and we're being changed by him, by pureness. What is pureness? If you go out to the store and you buy water, sometimes you can buy purified water. What does that mean? Well, it means that they've supposedly taken all the contaminants out. Now, they put it in a plastic bottle so it gets all kinds of stuff back in it, but that's not the point here. Before they put it in that plastic bottle and it got transported in a 100-degree truck, the water was pure on the inside, right? Okay, what are we talking about purification? We're taking out the contaminants, right? And that's exactly what God does in our life, right? Has he changed you since you got saved? Yes. And is he still working on you? Yes. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? But listen, he's going to keep working on us, keep purifying us. It's a continual process where he wants to purify us by putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And that happens by knowledge, by knowing him. It happens by long suffering that we continue on, we keep on keeping on. So number 1 is purity of life. Number 2 is patient endurance. Patient endurance. He talks about long suffering here. He also goes on to talk about by patience or long suffering. What is patience? It is cheerful endurance. It's keeping on with joy in your heart. It's continuing to move forward. And listen, living the Christian life and living a life that matches the gospel that we preach is going to take some endurance. It's going to take endurance to keep on going. Evangelism is opposed by everything in the realm of Satan. You understand that Satan doesn't want you to be a witness, right? You understand that your flesh, your carnal mind, doesn't want you to be a witness. There are a lot of things fighting against you. Now, I can't help but think about patient endurance. I think about the marathon runner, and Brother Phillips here this afternoon, so there he is. Brother Phillips, run some marathons. How many of you run?
5 so far.
5 so far. So Brother Philip understands that idea of patient endurance. Now, he can run 26 miles. I can barely run 1. It takes a lot of patient endurance for me to get 1 mile in, much less a lot. I just want you to get this. Your Christian life is a marathon. Now, you might not be able to go out and run a real marathon, but spiritually, you must. You have to keep putting one foot in front of another. You have to keep moving forward, and you have to do it with joy. Now, do you think it's easy to run a marathon? No. Do you think it's hard? Do you think it takes grit and determination and diligence? You have to keep moving forward. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be pain. It's going to be hard in you, and it's going to be hard outside of you. And those are all the kind of terminology Paul used about living this Christian life, right? We have fightings and fears within and without. And so it is a marathon. It takes patient endurance in distresses and in tumult. He talks about all those things, the opposition, and you have to keep going on. So if we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, we have to have purity in our life, and we have to have patient endurance. Number 3, we need to have kindness through love. He says, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned. So kindness through love. If I'm going to be an evangelist, if I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ, I have to have a genuine kindness in my heart towards others out of love. I have to love them, and if I love them, it's going to come through kindness. I think Brother Tom said it Wednesday night. Love is what you do. Love is an action. Love is what you do. Love isn't a feeling. It's not ooey-gooey, mushy-gushy stuff. Love is shown in what you do. Does Jesus love you? Yeah, and you know what he did? He died a horrific death. The cross isn't ooey-gooey, mushy-gushy. It's love. It is raw, and it is painful, and it is suffering, and it is doing it for you. And I'm just telling you that we gotta be kind to each other. It's gotta be motivated by love, that we love them. We love them because Christ loved us. We love him and we love others. And so we show kindness. This idea of kindness is deeper than just kind of a nice word. This kindness is doing good. It's goodness, benevolence to others. So it's by kindness. So our character has to be defined by purity, by patience, by kindness. Number four, by integrity, with integrity. He says down there, as deceivers and yet true, as deceivers and yet true. Now, what it means by as deceivers, remember, he had a lot of enemies that were fighting against him at the church in Corinth, false teachers who were saying false things against him and the other apostles and missionaries, and they were called deceivers, but in reality, they were true. So when somebody heard about them, they might have heard this evil report and believed it on the outside, but if they ever got to know Paul or Luke or any of the others, they knew better. Because those men had integrity. They had integrity. And you and I need to be people of integrity. Everybody else in the world may live their life by telling lies, but that can't be us. We have to have integrity. We have to be truthful. We have to be trustworthy. Okay? All right. I'm not trying to set you up to judge somebody else, but I just need you to answer this. Have you ever known somebody in your life that when they told you something, you just automatically didn't really believe them? And on the flip side, have you ever known somebody in your life that when they told you something, even if it sounded kind of crazy, you believe them because of who said it? You understand what I'm saying then? So that's got to be us. Like, how are we going to be good vessels of the gospel? How are we going to be good messengers of Jesus Christ? How are we going to be trustworthy ambassadors of Christ if people can't believe what you're saying? So be men and women and boys and girls who tell the truth. That you have integrity, that people find you to be trustworthy. So have integrity. That's number four. Number five is joy. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Do you think the Apostle Paul ever had time to be sad? Ever had occasion to be sad? Ever had reason to be sad? Yeah, you bet he did. He had brothers and sisters in Christ. He was sad about what he had done before he got saved. He was sad about things that happened to him and others while he was saved, after he was saved. He was sad about circumstances, and there were a lot of sorrowful things going on in the world around him, persecution against Christians, people being imprisoned and murdered for their faith in Jesus, people just the life. People got sick and they died. There was sorrow all around him, and yet there was joy in the midst of it all. Now, does that sound like our lives today? Do people we love get sick and pass away? Do bad things happen in our life? Are there tragedies and wars and terrible things happening around the world? Yes. Is there division? Is there corruption? Are there a lot of things in the world to be sad about today? So you be sorrowful and yet rejoicing. No matter what's going on in the world today, the ambassador for Christ can have joy because our citizenship is in heaven. Listen. Things may be bad here, but I can always have joy, always rejoicing because I know where my home is. And sin can't touch that. So have joy. Number six, the character of an ambassador is marked by humility with meekness and fear. We have to be humble. And this, if you're taking notes, you put a star by this one because it's absolutely critical. A lot of people in my experience, in my Christian life, who become evangelistic get very prideful about it. Okay, they get prideful for a lot of different reasons. One, because the vast majority of Christians today never share their faith. The statistics are disgusting, just to be frank. The number of Christians who say that they're a believer, who share their faith with other people regularly, the percentages are tiny. It's ridiculous, honestly, that they never, ever tell somebody else about Jesus. So a lot of times when people do share the gospel with other people, they get prideful, they feel boastful because I share the gospel while all these other Christians never do. I'm going to tell you something. Just because somebody gave you something to give to somebody else doesn't give you a reason to be proud. Like, I didn't come up with this. Like, it's not my gospel. I didn't die for anybody. Like, this is the good news of Jesus. So I got no reason to be proud because I gave the gospel to somebody else. I'm a beggar who found bread, and I just told somebody else how to find bread. Is that something I did? No. No, it's a grace of God. So I see people who start to be evangelistic, and they get very prideful about it. You ever wonder stories you should tell and you shouldn't, but I'll tell it anyway. You guys always listen to the stuff I shouldn't tell. You guys remember snipers sometimes in World War II would mark the stock of their rifle for their kills. You guys know what I'm talking about? Tally marks. You guys know what tally marks are, right? So I read about these snipers in World War II and different wars. They would make tally marks on the stock of their rifle for every kill they made. I had a teacher in seminary one time who, if you looked in his Bible, he had tally marks. Tally marks. And he loved to show people his tally marks for people he had won to Jesus. Now, on the one hand, you say, well, that's good. He's just rejoicing in salvation. But I'm going to tell you, when he showed me the tally marks, I didn't feel like it was rejoicing in the Lord. It was more, look at me and look at what I've done. Now, I don't know his heart. I just know that's how it came across. Tally marks. Look at my kills. Listen, if you were the only one in this church who ever shared the gospel, you got no reason to be proud. If everybody in this church faithfully shares the gospel and we're the only church in town who can claim that, we have no reason to be proud. There's a theme here. We have no reason to be proud, no matter what. So be marked with humility. Be marked with humility, with meekness and fear. The other thing I see, people who share the gospel get proud in themselves that they share the gospel. I share the gospel, they don't. The other thing is we get prideful against the people we're trying to win. Listen, your goal in evangelism is not to win arguments. And sometimes when you get to having a conversation, sometimes it can turn into a debate with an unbeliever, an atheist, or an agnostic. And if you're not really careful, you'll get in the flesh and you get prideful. And now you're coming from a position of pride because you have the truth and they don't. So you'll start thinking you're better than they are. But I got news for you. You're not saved because you're better than they are. You're saved because you realize you were no good at all. So let's keep ourselves in our place. I have no reason to be proud. I don't think you should be proud and arrogant when you talk to an unbeliever. Now, is an atheist a fool? You said yes. Why? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody who says there's no God, that's a foolish thing. But does that make you wise because they're foolish? No. We used to be fools too. Yeah, I'm just trying to tell you, don't be prideful. Our goal is to win people, not arguments. Right. And if I come at somebody with arrogance and pride, I'm not going to be effective in my evangelism. Now, is it true that you have the truth and they don't? That is true. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you make truth claims that they can't make, they're going to think you're arrogant, but your heart has to be humble. Okay, did that make sense to everybody? I just know personally evangelism, when you're talking to somebody, they don't have any basis for truth. They believe truth is relative. You have your truth, I have my truth. But when I stand on the truth of the Word of God, I have great confidence. That doesn't mean that I'm proud. I have confidence because I'm trusting in the Word of God. When you stand on the truth, you got solid footing. You're talking to somebody who has no solid footing. They got nothing to stand on. So be careful to stay humble. I know some of you are like, that's easy. It's my greatest spiritual gift is my great humility. Be humble. Number 7, wise speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Wise speech opens doors rather than closing them. So we want to have wisdom in our speech and be careful how we talk to people. Now, Charles Spurgeon said this, a holy life is the best advertisement of the gospel. A holy life is the best advertisement of the gospel. And I think that most of you have experienced this. So let's just start here. Has God changed you since you got saved? Has there ever been anybody in your life since you got saved that noticed that you're different? Okay. Well, it's not for you to boast of. That's just good. And it is good. You are different. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. He's put his righteousness on you. And I get it, guys. We feel guilty all the time because we fail, we stumble, we fall, we sin. We don't do the good we should. We do the stuff we shouldn't do. I understand that feeling all the time. But just be reminded this afternoon that you have the righteousness of Christ in you. He has changed you from the inside out. You are new. And people do notice that you're changed. And that's a beautiful thing. And it ought to be that people notice your life is changed and being changed. And the holiness of God is coming out of you. The light of Christ is shining out of you, and it ought to have an impact. And it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful advertisement of the gospel. So we want to make sure that our character matches. So what do we need to do? Let me give some practicalities real quick. Number one, I think we ought to pray about being ambassadors for Christ. Does anybody ever wish I was a better witness for Jesus? How about this? I wish I had a better heart for the lost. So pray. Number one, pray. Pray for compassion. Pray that you can speak the truth in love, that you can love people. Pray for that. Number two, practicalities for our character. Practice listening before answering. Practice listening before answering. I know it's tried and true, but you have two ears and I know that's played out, but I think it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder for me. I watch a lot of evangelism encounters, and sometimes I'm wishing I could just step into the video and say stuff because the person they're witnessing to, the lost person, is saying things, but the evangelist isn't listening. And the lost person says some stuff, and then the evangelist says some other stuff, but I'm like, you didn't listen to what they said at all. So it's important for you to listen, because people will tell you where they are, maybe not with the exact words they say, but they're going to let you know where they're at in their faith by what they say. So listen, be patient, and listen to them. Number three, guard your speech. Guard your tongue. The tongue is a little thing, isn't it? But it can kindle a great fire. Be careful how you talk. If you're prone to be angry, or maybe you're still struggling with using bad language or something like that, it's going to be really hard for you in one breath to be saying bad things and then to turn around and try to give somebody the gospel. It's going to be hard. So guard your tongue, because that person you just talked vulgarly in front of, you're going to have a hard time witnessing to them later. So we need to guard our speech. Be careful how we talk. We want to maintain our credibility. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So be careful. Guard your speech. Number four, refuse quarrels. 2 Timothy 2:24 teaches us that an ambassador can't strive, but they must be gentle. We shouldn't be out looking for fights. Be careful. Some people are just looking for a fight. Refuse quarrels. And number five, maintain a clear conscience. Maintain a clear conscience. Have you ever had a conscience that isn't clear? Does it impact your ability to witness? Hard for me to be an ambassador for Jesus when I'm not right with Jesus. I'm not going to represent him well. So I need to have a good relationship with Christ, and that's easy to do. I think we need to have a heart for the gospel. I want to read you this quote this afternoon. It's another Spurgeon quote. But he said this: to try to win a soul to Christ by keeping that soul in ignorance of any truth is contrary to the mind of the Spirit. And to endeavor to save men by mere claptrap or excitement or oratorical display is as foolish as to hope to hold an angel with birdline or lure a star with music. Okay, just to clear up what Spurgeon's saying is, a lot of people today are trying to put on a show to win people to Jesus. And he said, you might as well try to trap an angel with a bird snare. It's nonsense. Okay? Everybody clear on that? The best attraction is the gospel in its purity. The weapon with which the Lord conquers men is the truth as it is in Jesus. The gospel will be found equal to every emergency. An arrow which can pierce the hardest heart, a balm which will heal the deadliest wound. Preach it and preach nothing else. Rely implicitly upon the old, old gospel. You need no other nets when you fish for men. Those your master has given you are strong enough for the great fishes and have meshes fine enough to hold the little ones. Spread those nets and no others, and you need not fear the fulfillment of his word. I will make you fishers of men. Listen, the gospel is sufficient. You don't need anything else. And sometimes we feel like we do. So keep it simple. I gave you some homework last time. Write down a 60-second gospel presentation. If you haven't done that, please do that. The second homework was to be friendly to people you don't know everywhere you go. And I'm going to add one to your homework this week. Are you ready? Everybody nod your head if you're ready. All right. Some of you are already stuck in a deep nod. Carry gospel tracts with you this week. And if you've never done this before and it's new to you, just do this. Carry gospel tracts with you and leave them places someone will find them. That's it. Just leave them somewhere. You can leave them in the gas pump. It's really cool where the handle is. You can just go like this, roll this a little bit, slide it in the handle on the gas pump. It'll stay right there. You can leave them if you have to go to the doctor's office, if you have to go to the hospital. And by the way, if you ever visit the hospital, leave them. They're going to call me at some point and be like, hey, we need your people to stop leaving tracks here. But you just leave them anyway. Carry tracks through the week and leave them places people will find them. That's it. Be friendly. Leave gospel tracks out this week. You think you guys can handle that? Okay, guys, this means yes. This means no. Okay. All right. So please do that. And one more thing. This is the hard part. I want you to think about current events. So pay attention to the headlines this week. And I want you to think about how you can use the headlines from the news this week and turn those headlines into gospel conversations. Does that make sense? So let's try it real quick. What's in the news right now? Rioting? Okay, rioting is in the news right now. How could we use rioting in places in the world and turn that to a gospel conversation? It's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay. Yeah, there may be trouble in the world, but you can have peace in Jesus. It's good. Good, good, good. So do that. Pay attention to the headlines this week. Think about how you can use that to turn it to a gospel conversation. Everybody good? All right. So you're like, you got your homework. You know what to do. So I didn't put anybody on the spot this time and say, who wrote down the gospel? Who put it on paper or typed it up? But next week, I'm going to put you on the spot. So you've had 3 weeks to do a one-week assignment. So help each other remember, remind each other, and let's be faithful, because we all should be able to share the gospel with other people, every one of us. Is that true? Yes. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for time with the church this afternoon. I pray that you would forgive us where we've fallen short. I pray that you'll help us to just have a heart for others. I pray that you'll work in our lives to continue to transform us and make us vessels meet for your use, Lord, that you'll cleanse us, that you'll put off the old man and put on the new man, that you'll help us to be pure and to continue in patience and just have the character that an ambassador ought to have. Father, I pray that you'll help us to be mindful of the gospel, that we'll be faithful to leave gospel tracts everywhere we go this week, and just help us to to have an evangelistic mindset, to always be looking, realizing that the people we meet, so many of them don't know you. And give us a heart for the lost, Lord, compassion for them. And give us courage and boldness to be witnesses unto you. Please forgive us and be with us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Any last words or anything before we go today?